a lot. So, good. Let's a few points just quickly on again this question of the role of tuma in chulin is again is a you know it comes up here. This is one of the most important gemaras about it. Just that one or two lines, and of course the Tosfos. And then, of course, we want to integrate that with the related topic of chulin shenas al taras hakodesh al taras truma. But it's a very interesting topic, and it's all over the place, and it's really a very important topic. So, just to add just a few quick ha'aros on that, without hopefully taking too much time, and then a few other ha'aros on the Tosfos, and then I want to talk about quickly cherev kachal. So, just one or two things very quickly. I mentioned that the Mishnah Melech raises the question already. Really, Ramban raises the question that if the din of Benivla Somlo Sigo refers to the Moed, then if that's really the truth, if that's really true, then why is there no Malkus? Right, there should be Malkus, just like in the assumption that it would apply all times, there would be Malkus. And we suggested the answer for the answer of the Shagas Aryeh. I mentioned the answer of the Mishnah Melech, and that is that since it's not Pshuto Shel Mikra, it is consequently, not doesn't trigger Malkus, since it isn't the hedge of Bakra that this refers to the Regel. I just wanted to point out that's an interesting answer, and it's related to a larger issue, that the Mepharshim speak about, especially for the Rambam, and that is that when things are not, that there's a difference between dinim daraisa that are mefurish bakra, and ones that are either derived from drashos that are not mefurish bakra, that's a very big topic, chatzi shir, other things, etc. But this is supposed to be an example of this. But I just wanted to point out, that's a Mishnah Melech's answer, but Rabbi Kivager, quoted here in the Frankel Rambam, they did a lot of really good things. One of them was to put Rabbi Kivager Hagos sometimes on the side of the page. So he just disagrees. He just thinks that that's not a good example at all. The Mishnah Melech brings a raya from Tumas Tzaras, and Rabbi Kivager says this is not a good raya at all. Harav, he quotes, Harav Balafike Yehuda, Kosav De'eno Me'adome, the Hosam Ikar Alav Al Tmeim, El Didorshim Vivazelo Tochelu Dekoy Al Tzipor. Does he have like an ikar meaning of the pasuk, and then there's also an addition, the drasha, let's say, which is not mefurish bakra, tells you an additional dimension of the pasuk, but there's still the main pasuk comes for something else, right? Ve'ena mikra kosuv avalcha lav de lo tigu mefurash v'haya b'mashmo kol shana b'chlal v'darshina demayri rak b'regel, right? The halav koi rak aregel. Imkain ikar halav koy al aregel, meaning if there are if the pasuk is accomplishing several things, it's almost like lav shebeklalos, frankly, which is again a whole topic. But you're not look on lav shebeklalos because the pasuk, if it's serving multiple functions, you can look at it in a technical way. I prefer to look at it surprise in a conceptual way. But if the pasuk is doing many things at the same time, so it isn't a typical lav. If the heavy lifting is for the ikar part of the pasuk, and there's also some tafel add-ins, just because there's malchus implied in the pasuk on the heavy part or the main part, the ikar part doesn't mean that that's true for the tafel. Again, I prefer to see it a little bit differently, but it doesn't really matter so much with respect to that. But what we're saying is, in this particular case, what you really have is a little bit of a different situation. It just highlights things that we were accentuating. That's why I'm bringing this up. Meaning, you have this pasuk, it seems to be telling you that all year round that there's an Isur Lihistame Linabela. Actually, according to Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo, he's suggesting that there could still be such a read for Kohanim and so on. That's a different story. But at the end of the day, the simple pshat of the Gemara and of the Sifra, or the Sifra and the Gemara, is that that isn't true. That pasuk, whatever it may seem to be talking about, is really talking about, it's almost like you could put the word regel in there, except that it's not there. So why do we care that it isn't there if that's the no heavy lifting? It's not like the pasuk is spread too thin, or that there's an ikar and a tafel, right? Or conceptually, or that the common denominator and therefore it isn't the maisa there. That's what I would say, but whatever. So why do we care? So I think it's a very good ha'ara. But again, it just highlights, I guess, a little bit, I'd like to rehabilitate the Mishnah Melach, or really I'm doing it, you know, for selfish reasons, you know, to say it my way, which is that really what the reason that there's no Malkus is because of exactly that. Not because the Pasuk is doing multiple things or it isn't Pshuto Shel Mikra. It is, because it's not Pshuto Shel Mikra is the Torah's way of telling you that it's a different kind of an Aveira. In other words, had it really been a Ma'is Aveira, you know, to be Mistame Beregel, then the Torah would have written the Pasuk more explicitly. But if the idea is that the way that we're supposed to relate to the opportunity or challenge, the way that we're supposed to integrate, let's say, the aspiration of Tahara or the avoidance of Tumah in our lives is to find the appropriate, you know, very elite circumstances which make it, A, not counterproductive, B, appropriate, in other words, in those conditions, you can really, immerse yourself, you know, in a meaningful way, and that's kalos, and that's what the Torah is telling us. So it isn't the Ma'is Aveira, right? It's about, you know, that opportunity. That's what I was suggesting. I mean, it's not like the Shagas Aryeh, it's a Heksher, and it's not the Mishnah Melech, you know, Stam, or a hardcore, there's the Furish Bakra, and there's, because then I think it's vulnerable to that Ha'ara. But what I'm trying to address is, why wasn't the Torah more explicit? And the answer is because, you know, it expresses itself in a very specific way, but it's really kiyum of this broader idea. And the broader idea isn't a Ma'is Aveira. The broader idea is a method or a mechanism or an opportunity to attach yourself to the larger din of Tahar. Having said that, it's also curious, also interesting, you know, there's this strange kind of phantom discussion. The initial Melech, I guess quoting the Mizrahi, you know, that same piece in the end of Tumas Ochlin, you know, just points, suggests or wonders why it is that Rashi in Parshas Shmini didn't quote this drasha, and he only quotes it, you know, in Parshas Re'eh. It's a little bit of a phantom issue, because again, Rabbi Kivager points out that, you know, our Rashi in Shmini does quote it. I guess there were some Rashis that didn't. I mean, Rashi wrote in Maduro, so it's possible that, you know, that it wasn't in some and it was in the others. Again, you have to look at the, I guess, Kisveyad of Rashi al HaTorah to find that out. I mean, there are some Rashi al HaTorahs, either that because of different Maduros or just, you know, different traditions. That's an interesting question. But, so the Rabbi Kivager says the whole thing is wrong, it's just not true. It's factually incorrect. Okay. Let's assume for the moment Yesh Devarim Bego, but either way, even if it's not, it's an interesting point, meaning the Mishnah Melech is like, quoting the Mizrahi, but saying, like, why would Rashi ignore this drasha of the Sifra in Parshas Shmini, where it takes place, and only mention it in Parshas Re'eh? Okay? Now you could, again, give a pragmatic answer, assuming that there is something to this, you could give a pragmatic answer, but my answer would be that it depends on how you look at this whole halacha. I mean, if Chayv Adam Latayr Asmo Beregel is primarily a Yom Tov halacha, you know, not a Tumah halacha, then it's about, you know, being Ra'ui and Omeid, whether at a practical level or in a conceptual level, to being, you know, Nachon Likanes Lamikdash the Lechol Kabanos, you know, and if that's a din, you know, in Regel, and not a din in, oh, an outlet, finally, an appropriate one, a non-counterproductive and a conducive one, you know, for Tahara, so then choosing to quote this in Re'eh and not in Shmini actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, in the end, Rashi quotes it in both, so that's interesting. It's like equivalent, I guess, to what I was discussing, which is Chayv Adam Lekabel Pnei Rabo Beregel and Chayv Adam Taratz Beregel, which Avram just informs me, according to the Meiri, is the chain, right? Is connected. It's both from Yitzchak, for sure, right? But the idea that they actually are connected and not just parallels to each other. But this question of whether or not they belong from a Rambam point of view, let's say, you know, just to highlight it, in, you know, do they belong in Hilchos, you know, Tumas Ochlin, you know, or Sefer Tahara, you know, or do they belong in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Hilchos Yom Tov, that's kind of the Rashi question, in a way. Now, again, I've suggested that, you know, where you put it is very important, showing the Iker Makayev, but it also is possible that both elements, meaning, you know, the if there wasn't the Tuma element, maybe there wouldn't be a Talmud Torah element, you know, and if it wasn't a Yontif element, you know, maybe there wouldn't be a Tuma element either. So I do think that there's some overlap, but still, the choice where you put it and where Rashi would make the Ha'ara, all that would be very, very important. Having said that, another just great example that we mentioned, but just to bring it back into the fold and to connect it more, is this the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi that says, you know, that you should find 7 days a year, you know, to eat, you know, the Tahar. So again, we're all kind of the victim, I don't really mean the victim, it's a good thing, of having been exposed to this Yerushalmi in the context of, you know, the charged, you know, preparations, you know, for the Yom HaNarayim. You know, so we all think of this like the Chachmei Ashkenaz, you know, this is about Aseres Yimei Tshuva. You know. But the fact is that, you know, the Chachmei Ashkenaz came up with this. Maybe they had a Mesorah, maybe they were just projecting, hard to know, doesn't really matter so much. And it's something that we embrace. But they too agree, the Rishalmi doesn't say that. Rishalmi just says, you should find 7 days of year in which you behave this way. So that's just a fast, and the other Rishonim who quote it, like Rabbeinu Yonah and others, they don't quote it in the context of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And again, in the piece in, Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlow's very, very lengthy piece, he discusses this also as an expression of, you know, the aspiration of Tahara in the context of Chulin. So I just want to make the point, again, it's a strange Yerushalmi. What do you mean? I mean, because we're kind of spoiled or victim of our, you know, awareness, you know, of all this, so we tend to think of it as a din in Aseres Yimei Tshuva. You know, and that, of course, is critical for Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But at the end of the day, for some it's not, and even for the ones who think it is, it's still not formulated that way. In a way, it's the parallel, if you will, of Chai Vadamatar Atzmo Beregel, coming from the Pasuk Ubeniv Lasam Lo Sigo, based on process of elimination, a Mesorah, definitely nothing in the context or the words of the Pasuk. So similarly, you have this Yerushalmi, it says, you know, find 7 days. Doesn't mean contiguous day? Sounds like it. You know, that would also be interesting. You know, so great. We found them, the right ones, the best ones. But what does the whole thing just mean? Right? But if the idea is that tahara, or being tahar, right, is a value, just that, you know, it's too, you know, you can't find conducive climate, you know, for it to be meaningful, or it comes at too great a price. So the idea of, you know, I don't want to get into morale-esque, you know, symbolism here, but the idea of finding a, you know, seven-day period, a week, you know, to do this, you know, Yom Kippur is your Achas Bashana Tahara, you know, and of Kula Lashen. And you should also find, you know, pick your week, you know, or maybe it's the week. You know, the one that's also connected to Yom Kippur. I don't think that's necessarily a coincidence either. But the idea is that if it's a din in Tahara, not a din in the actual timing, then this is very reasonable. It's exactly the parallel of what we have been discussing. Okay. One final point on that, and that is that I don't remember if I mentioned this or not, but on the Rambam, as we know, is Mema'it a lot, in the, you know, the significance of Tahara B'chulin, and, you know, he denies that there's any Yisra Achila or any Yisra Latame, but there is a debate between the Keset Mishnah and Tosfos Yom Tov, which the Mishnah Melech also points out about the Tosfos Yom Tov, on the following point, and that is, is there an Yisra, you know, Latame, you know, Chulin, right, She'ena Metukanim of Eretz Yisrael? The simple, the Rambam says, there's no Yisr Ligrom Tuma. The Keset Mishnah's Diuk, and that Rambam is, there's no Yisr Ligrom, but there is an Yisr Latame directly. And the Keset Mishnah in Mishnayos Shviyas, Mishnah Melech points it out, says this is everything, he doesn't think that's the correct idea. So I'm curious about that because, number one, I think it's interesting, per se. I was trying to do the other day, and it took a little longer than I thought, was to try to prove on several, or to suggest at least, on, or to speculate, you know, on several levels, that even though the Rambam seems, you know, to be very, very limiting in terms of the effectiveness, the significance, even more say of tahara, you know, outside of kadshim and by Sushani and truma, right? That, you know, the issue is a little bit more complex, and that's what I was trying to build up. Number one, within by Sushani, you know, truma and kadshim itself, right? Maybe it isn't just, you know, a requirement, but it is in those interfaces a status, you know, in something which is a mechayiv in its own right. And number two, you know, tahara beregel, if it isn't just a pragmatic halacha, right? And then I was saying, and number three, you know, his appreciation of chassidim rishonim, which again, mostly, you know, is very pragmatic, you know, in terms of being mavdil or poresh minatzibor, not poresh minatzibor, you know, of Hilchos Tshuva, you know, but the poresh minatzibor that is consistent with what he writes in Sevel Prakim and Hilchos Deos and in the fourth parak of Shmona Prakim and in Pirshu Mishnayos and Taharos, etc. But he still has that line about this being the sulam, you know, the Leruchnius or whatever it was. And even in Tumas Ochon, the language, you have to read it several times to appreciate that he's kind of, you know, downplaying it, even in this context. You know, you could think, based on his use of other places of the terminology of Tumas Haguf and Taharas Haguf and Taharas HaNefesh and so on, that he's also ascribing some value to it. And then when you add not only the Tahara Beregel piece, if it's an expression of Tumas of Tuma, and Tara, not just a brega, but also his treatment in Mitzvah Sadivav and Mitzvah Kuftes. And again, I'm suggesting to read it more conceptually than the Nosei Kalim do, meaning the Mitzvah of Tevila, the Mitzvah of Tahara, or Tuma and Tahara, against the Ramban and against a little bit some of the Mepharshim. And then you add to that, you know, his view about the Kabbana in Tevila, you know, and a few other things. It's like the bigger picture that emerges is, yes, the Rambam is, you know, limiting all this, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't see some intrinsic value in it. And therefore, you know, things like, you know, being metane, you know, again, so is that only because of Hepsid or only because of, you know, the Truma Shabo? Or maybe that's also a little bit of an expression of Tahara, you know, in the right climate and circumstance. Okay. So that's really what I wanted to leave you with. That is really the bigger idea. And again, certainly the language at the end of Hilchos Mikvos, you know, that even the Rambam, you know, in very rarefied, you know, conditions, does in all these contexts, put them all together, right, have an intrinsic value for them. Okay, so that's just where we're coming from, but a few highlights of that. Okay. Now, in the sugya itself, where's David? David, right? Where's David? Yeah, there he is. Sorry. Yeah. So in the sugya itself, there are a few other little ha'aros that we should talk about very quickly. Okay. So one is Safek Tuma B'Shisa Ram, just a ha'ara. Okay, this I don't expect. Did you get a chance to read the Note of Yehuda? That we saw? Okay, so just a quick ha'ara, and then I want to talk about misakseches a little bit. We're not going to get into it because these are massive topics, but I just want Pater Belo Kuni after, just so we should know what it is, and just to be on the look for it. We already discussed the question of Safek Tuma B'Shisa Rabim in two senses. Number one, Safek Tuma B'Shisa Rabim Tahar Keneged other evidence. You know, robes and so on and so forth, robe chazaka, etc. And pointed out that that's a big machlokes rishonim. Different bali tosis in Shas. Ramban here has a discussion of that as well. The relationship between safek tum brishus arabin and safek tum brishus Hayachid being Chayiv is at stake, and I already talked about whether or not these are dinim, or they are projection, I mean, they're dinim and projections, or they're just dinim, etc. There's a lot more to talk about. But one of the interests, and whether or not there's a din of Shmira, basically neutralizes that, the Kiddush of the Ramban. But one Ha'ara I just want to make very quickly, which is going to be relevant to not our next topic, but hopefully pretty much the one after, is that the Nor Bihuda has an interesting comment about the placing of this Tosas. He just points out, anybody see the Nor Bihuda inside? Yeah? Nobody's curious? And he just points out that this Tosas could have been presented earlier in the Shaka Vitaria. Because the question is a question which applies to the earlier part of the Sugya too, namely, if you hold Suffolk Tumah Brishas Rabin Tahar, right, then what's the big deal, about a Tamei, who is being Shochet, Kodshim, right? Suffolk Tumah Brishas Rabin, the Azara is a Brishas Rabin, assuming the Azara is a Brishas Rabin, so it's Tahar. So why did Tosas wait until this point in the Shaka Vitaria to mention it? Just a Ha'ar. So the Nor Bihuda says, because he wanted to put it on the Dibra Maskal, the Leisa Kamand in the Shaila. This was his way of addressing an interesting question, namely, is the din of Safek Tuma Bershus Harabim Tahar something that applies Afila Be'efshar Lavar, or not? So this is something which we're going to, again, after we talk about Kisharis, we'll probably talk about that. The Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis, and that is the sugya of Rov Mitzui Netzel Shchita Mumchenein. In general, when you rely upon a klalei birur or hakra in the halacha, right, you rely upon that even when you have the means, you have better means, or even more so badai means, to be mevarer. In Efshel Lavarer, Tzorech Lavarer or not? And as far as that question is concerned, as we'll talk about more, Gila Balamor and Ramban here, and the Rajva and the in Taurus Habayis, are you mechalek between different means or methods of Birur and Akra? The same question should apply to Rove or different types of Roves, different types of Chazakas, right? What about Stek Steka? What about Safek Darban and Lekul? We'll get back to all this. So what about Safek Tuma versus Harabin Tahar? Do you apply that Afila B'makom She'ef Shalavar? Again, the Ramban's Chiddush here was that you don't apply it Kol Zman that there is a Chiyuv Shmira. Okay, and the discussion between Bali Tosis and Ramban is, will you apply it, when there is contrary indicators, like a rove against, a chazaka against. But what about, forgetting all that? Let's say there's no shmira and there's no, contrary indicators, but it's efshel lavarer, meaning the person is present, and he can say, there's no reason we wouldn't believe him, and say, nachadam bisurim, right, he's not a chashun. Not a kuti, he's not a mumar, he's a good guy, right? A kosher Yisrael. So he could say barley shalonagati. But do we even have to ask that question if it's safek tumah versus harabim tar? Says in Or Bihuda. That's why the Rambam. That's why the Bali Tosas put the, or that's why they formulated this Tosas on the Leisa Kamand in the Shaila. To teach you that even Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, or that Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, Efshel Lavarer, Tzorech Lavarer. That's an interesting question. So we'll have to keep that in mind, depending on what we say about Rov. And it goes to the question that we talked about, and that is, on the one hand, Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, Safek Tumah Brishus Hayachid are less compelling. There's no, it's not like a Rov and a Chazaka, where whatever their flaws are, they are reasonable ways you know, of not completely arbitrary ways, you know, of resolving, you know, a topic. You know, but the geography, you know, the venue, like, of the topic, what does that have to do with its, you know, objective solution? Right. So these are dinim. Now, once they're dinim, so you might think, well, kol shekein, if, you know, what will be the relationship, is what I'm asking, between efshel levar, tzorach levarer, in tzavik tov rishus harabim, and chazaka and rov and spek sveika. A similar question, by the way, about spek and rabban and lekula, except these all have their own, because spek and rabban and lekula also has nothing to do with the merits of the argument or of the circumstances. It's just that it happens to be that what's at stake is a drabana. And suffik to b'shus ha'yak and b'shus ha'rabim is, you know, to what, as I say, venue is this related. So there would be reasons to be mechalek in either direction. You know, on the one hand, you could say, well, the already the use of these mechanisms to solve the problem is already more problematic. So, you know, if we, even if we don't require, you know, efshel levar, tzorach levar, when it comes to other things, we certainly should require it, you know, when it comes to methods of resolution, you know, which are not substantive. But again, you know, as we've encountered, you also could say the opposite, namely where you are projecting that you're really finding the solution, you know, not only that you're not being arbitrary, you know, in blazing a path, you know, to the future, you know, but that you really believe, although not infallibly, you know, that you are on the right side of the facts. So then if you have a better way, on the one hand, that's more compelling. You shouldn't need Tzorach Levar. On the other hand, you know, on a factual level, fact-finding level, you know, factual resolution level, you should always be, you know, striving for a better resolution, if you can. And maybe ignoring a better resolution is inherently problematic. Whereas, you know, if the Torah says these are dinim, and it's not so much a projection, or maybe even if it creates a projection, but because dafka isn't based on a reconstruction, we'll call it, then maybe it's freed from this whole issue. Yeah?
I understand the idea. Wouldn't it be the opposite? Tosas is only commenting on the case where it's not...
Tosas is only in case if it's leis the kamans in the shaylei...
Wouldn't that imply that the whole...
I mean, it's ef shalavara.
That they would only be asking the question of ef shalavara, would imply that...
If it was efshel levar, no one would ask. You should be mitar on the basis of suffix to which is around it, because efshel levar. So either way, you should be forget about suffix to which is around it. No. I'm only saying now. The diuk that he makes is that Tosis wanted you to know that if it was efshel levar, they wouldn't be asking this question. Meaning even Suffolk Tumpershus or Suffolk Tumpershus Rabin is Nitan to Efshel Levar, Tzorach Levar. Now I'm saying something else, and that is, but what is Rov? That's a big Machlokas Arishonim, as we'll see. Right? I'm only saying, so the way Nor Behuda puts it, just to make it clearer, Nor Behuda says, listen, Kal Vachomer Ben Benosho Kal Vachomer. If you have a Rov or a Chazaka and still Efshel Levar, Tzorach Levar, then, you know, if you have my words, but his thought, just an arbitrary, you know, or a din resolution, and not anything objective to, you know, commend it, then kol shekein emefshel levar tzorach levar. And what I'm just pointing out now is that isn't necessarily true. Meaning if you're dealing with uncovering or reconstructing what took place, then the argument that you should, you know, go an extra mile, you know, because you can, you know, on the level of resolution makes sense. But if we're kind of, dropping the requirement of factual resolution, and we're saying, well, this is the halacha. The halacha is a system. It says that safek tum rishus harabim is, you know, tahar. And the fact, maybe it wouldn't say that if it wasn't a safek, but it's still a safek. And therefore, the din is that it's tahar. And even if it's tameh, it's tahar, because that's what the halacha decided. And therefore, it's not playing out on that level. That's all I'm saying. Okay, good. That took too long, but okay, good. Now, where's Moshe? Oh, there he is. Okay. So now I want to talk for a minute just about the implications of a couple of other things here quickly. Misakseches. So what's the story with misakseches? Was the question? Yeah.
Going back to Yerushalmi and Shabbos.
Yeah.
So I just want to make a hara that the line before the line that Rebbe quoted says that really all your life you should be keeping chum mitara. You can't. You should do it in for 7 days.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, yeah, correct. That's even better.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Right. So, and I believe that, that's how Rabbeinu Yonah quotes as well. That's in the Yerushalmi, but yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I haven't read the piece, but would he, is that a possibility to read the Rambam omission of Barili?
Well, he's talking about this in general, but he has his other explanations for that. No, I don't, how would that help?
Meaning,
the question is, why did Rambam drop the requirement of Barili in Midrashim? One second. Because Safek Tov Rishus Harav?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rambam doesn't say anything about Safek Tov Rishus Harav. The Rishonim are asking, why isn't this Safek Tov Rishus Harav in, Tahar?
Maybe that's the solution.
Maybe. I mean, the doesn't say that, but...
The Miri says
that. Says
that... We just think that if there's no Barili... He's not talking about Tom Rishis Rabin would apply.
Yeah,
he just says, if you didn't have Barili, it would be fine.
Because of Tom Rishis Rabin? Oh, okay, that goes on the record, I don't remember that. But, meaning you wouldn't apply it to... He doesn't like Tosin's answer, he doesn't like Ramban's answer. He thinks it would. The only reason, he's saying the only reason it's not is because of Efshel Devar Tarkavar? You have a line? I mean, you're saying the Meiri is... arguing with the Sonata of Yehuda. But once you say that, then maybe that could explain the Rambam. The Josh is saying maybe that'll explain the Rambam too. Okay, you still have to explain the Gemara. Why did the Gemara didn't say that, right? It's still against the Gemara.
Right.
So you still have to explain the Gemara, I guess, maybe one of the two ways the Sonata of Yehuda did. But is he really saying that? Did he actually hold Safek Tov Rishus Harabim? Applies here even to Efshel Devar? Yeah, go ahead.
In Lomer came, I think in 13 before that also, but Lomer came to Holocaust and Nishra of Abu Safdi, both their Nishra of Devar and Dina Krishna Sarab with someone.
Well, that's if Efshel Devar.
Yeah, when he's not around.
Yeah, but I mean, Efshel Devar. So, no, it's still a chiddush, but it's not as much.
But I'm just saying he just doesn't require you to...
No, Josh was saying that... Josh was trying to answer the Rambam. Why doesn't the Rambam say that we need to say barley when you can say barley? The Miri isn't saying that. Miri is saying if you can't say barley, then we are matir, but we're matir based on... Safek Tov Rishus Harabim Tahar, which is still against Tosus and the Rambam. That's still important. But it isn't a reason why, it isn't going even further in saying, that once you say Safek Tov Rishus Harabim Tahar, without, what?
Halfway there.
Yeah, halfway there. Okay, good, that's good. Still goes on the record. So good. Yeah.
Yeah, meaning just right after he discussed this, so he says that it would be passed on the Rambam, and then no dispute.
The omission
based on the idea in Tosos, so the Rambam
question. You have the line. You found the line that I was talking about before.
Yeah,
go ahead. Read it.
So he says that in Cain, after saying the whole thing about Tosos, Akati Kasha the Rambam, Lama lo hitzra chafil l'shalo d'naga b'vasar.
Yeah.
Near the Linet Sancti, Spirla Moshe Kofla v'magen Avram, Dimash Meolam lo hay b'cheskas Yisr Samchina naha chazata. It was never chesed sister. A feel of makom diachol in the barim. The gam kan are behemoth of chesed taro medes in case of a rambam.
Yeah, but not because of something to versus a rabbin, but because of the chazaka.
Many of it says you would be kasha
the rambam. Yeah, the gemara. Right. Okay. Very good. Good. Okay. Where's where did Moshe go? I mean David. Sorry. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. Sorry. I don't know why you're. Okay. So Misakseches, what do we know about Misakseches? What's the story of Misakseches? In Tosis. Do you see it? I'm sorry, Mifarcheses. What did I say? Misakseches? That's a different point. Okay. my mistake. I apologize. Sorry, my mistake. Go ahead.
For that to serve,
right?
For
what? Yeah. I can't get it out of my mind. Afal Gav, go ahead. Mifarchasas? There's a whole question of what the lekaman is, but we're not going to get to that in a moment. Hamada v'haracha. Chashiv ocha. Tmeya l'ovek hachavim. Okay, so what do you think about this? This is a very fascinating tosef. Again, I don't want to go into the whole sugya mifarkasas right now, but this is just to make a bigger point for the moment. Mifarkasas is one of those, ambiguity of what constitutes, life, and the termination of life issues. Here it's about a behemoth. I mean, what's the status of a behemoth which had a proper shechita, right? And is still mifarchesa. I mean, it's thrashing around. Okay, so what is the din? And basically, Tosis is saying is, based on the Gemara later on, that it depends, for what. So the first day of Tosis actually assumes that what's the story of mifarchesa? And what's the status of mifarchesa? What bothers Tosis? The Mekdashin lo yishkot shema yiga babasar. Right? So the problem is, if it's mefarcheset, right, it's kechaya, and if it's kechaya, then it's not subject to tumah. Correct? You can't be, something that's alive cannot be mistame. And the Gemara calls it chaya. So what are we worried about, that the animal will become tame? The animal is alive. It's thrashing around. It's putting on a whole show. Right? It's breathing. It's bleeding. It's not bleeding, but bleating. Right? It's, it's doing the whole thing there. Oh. So what Tosa says is, chayshinan shemayiga achar pirchos. So according to the first day of Tosis, it means that even la'achar shechita, even le'inyan tumas ochlim, the animal is not considered basar or ochel, right, but it's still considered chaya. But we're just worried that he's going to, keep touching it even after the pirchos stops. Okay, that, as the Rashash points out, based on the next line of Tosis, Rashash al-Atar just says, I don't understand how that first day of Tosis can be, because as the Tosis continues to point out, it seems to be explicit in the sugya later on that what? Inami, go ahead. Yeah, that seems to be explicit later on. So the Rashash throws up his hands. I'm not going to get into this right now, but is there other evidence in Shas on this question? With regard to Tumas Ochlin, it sounds like there are two days in Tosis whether Mefarchases is considered to be subject to Tumas Ochlin or not. It sounds like the first Tosis, day in Tosis says no, and the second day in Tosis says yes. But it seems to be an explicit makar that the answer is yes. So the Rashash doesn't know what to do with that. So we're not going to leave it. We're not going to get into it more now. But that's the question. You have to know, other sugyas. But this middle, the second view of Tosis, which is the more compelling view, also just highlights the ambiguity sometimes of status. This is something you should be aware of, right? Because if it's kechaya, then it shouldn't be subject to tumas ochlim. But we're being mechalik between hamada v'haracha. What is hamada v'haracha? Tell it. Yeah, if you want to be podek kadshim, it has to be nitan lahamada v'haracha. Correct, exactly, correct. That's what the sugya there is talking about. Can you be podek the animal? The Gemara seems to say that you can be podek the animal as long as it's mefarches. You can't be podek a dead animal, right? Because it's not omed b'haracha, laharacha, b'hamada laharacha. So what we're saying is legabe tumas meis, I'm sorry, legabe tumas ochlim, this is considered a meis, but legabe hamada laharacha is considered to be chai. And what about legabe nevela? Is it tami tumas nevela? That's a single later on in Orva Rote. No. Right, so just to try to point out, there are three different issues here. So you could say that the question is, you know, again, there are subtle overlapping questions, but they're different. One is a question, how about if our racha will apply, you know, I'll put it this way. Tumas nevela requires mace. Right? And until you have you know, a termination of pirchus, right, there's no status of neveh. Hamada v'haracha, right, depends on what? The fact that it's low mace or the fact that it is chai? Hard to know. That's an interesting question. And tumas ochlim, these are overlapping ideas, but really it has nothing to do with chai or low mace. It has to do with whether or not there's a shame basar as opposed to a shame behema, chaya, right, or a shame ochel. Right. So what's also very interesting is that there's another tosis, and that's a tosis on Pei Dalet Omid Aleph, quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Shmaya. Rashash points this out, but it's 2 days in tosis in Bava Kamma, and daf ayin vav amud aleph, and that is with regard to hamada v'haracha. Is there a difference between shchita, which is matir the basar, right, or and shchita which is not matir basar? Meaning, what will happen if you're shochet the behemah tmeya? Right, so the shechita is not matir the basar. Again, it will be motzi midei nevela. Right, the question is, does the fact that it's not matir the basar, is that the reason, you know, why it's considered omed lahamada v'aracha? In other words, what happens if your shochet not behemah tmeya? But the typical shechitas behemah tahora. In that situation, will you still say that there is pidyon during pirchos, or does the fact that it's a shechita kshera alter that? That's what Tosfos says on Pei Dalet and Tosfos 2 days and Tosfos in Bava Kamma. Second. Right, Tosas here, Be'inan Amad of Aracha. Tosas Vim Tomar, Kozman Shemifarchsin, B'nei Amad of Aracha Ninu. Gedom El, the Gemara Lamed Amad Aleph. This Gemara here in Pei Dalet seems to say that it's not Bahamad of Aracha, already even Bisman Pirchos. The Chitem of Be'inan Amad of Aracha, Tznan, Shachab Ashnaim, Arov Shnaim, Farchases, Ari Kachaya Lechol Dvareha. Interesting suggestion. But then comes in the farish a rabbi in Ishmaya, the shachat shnayim or rov shnayim haynu kedam rina ba'or va'rote v'yisrael b'tmeya v'ovik kochavim b'tahora k'depirish rach le'el v'hosam dafka mefarchesa sikachaya da'idei shchita eina niteres b'achila. And so on. Aval hacha de b'shchita zu mishri b'achila la b'nei hamad v'aracha ninu. again, our Tosis obviously doesn't go with that. So there, this machlokas harishonim, whether or not shchita, maisa shchita, right? Every maisa shchita, I'm sorry, even shchita ksheira, even shchita which is matir, still doesn't affect hamada v'haracha, because even though there's a shame basar and a shame ochel, there is still the status of chai. Never mind that it's lo meis legabe nevela. Or whether we'll say that once there is heter basar, right, that heter basar is also incompatible with hamada v'haracha. And heter basar means ein ochel. Now again, whether it's shchita, which is a matir, or it's the effect of heter basar, hard to know. Similarly, there is a discussion, if you look at the Mishnah there in Kufid Zayin, was it Kufid Zayin? Or in Beis, or Barotev, the Mishnah has the, in the end, right, Or Varotav Akipa Hello Tomos Gidin Karnaim Tlafayim Bitstarfin, right, with Tami Tumasoklin of Lo Tumas Nevelos. Kyotaba Shokit Behema Tmeal over Kokobim Umifarchases Mitama Tumasoklin Avalo Tumas Nevelos Achitamos. O Achiyatis Rosho. So for this mission, it appears that even if you're shochet behema tmeya, that there is tumas ochlin. One might have thought that the shame ochel, right, or basar, legabe tumas ochlin, depends on heter shchita, not on maisa shchita. Okay. So both, I'm just pointing out that in terms of the evidence, both with regard to Hamada V'Haracha, right, and the Hagdara of Chai, as opposed, can something be both Chai and Basar at the same time, or Chai and Ochel at the same time, right? As well as in what constitutes Ochel and Basar, whether you need Hetzer Shchita or Maisa Shchita, right, this seems to be a debate. The bigger point is that Mefarcheses is part of a group of a small group of circumstances that kind of test, you know, how we define life. How we define life, how we define death. Okay. So the same mission on Kufi Zion, the mission speaks about Hatpazas Arosh. Right, again, if you cut off, you sever the head, which means you sever the brain, and everything else, but still there can be Mefarchases. You know, what about legabe, you know, tumas nevela? And the same question, of course, applies, you know, legabe tumas meis. So in all these discussions of, you know, what constitutes the termination of life, you know, the gray areas, the ambiguous areas in between are, you know, are both chai and meis at the same time, neither chai and meis? Or depends on which halachos, like what depends on, you know, pidyon, and what depends on the bela, and what depends on tumas ochel. And for that, again, maisa shchita, you know, heter shchita, and so on. So these are big issues. If you look at the Rabban in that mission, Kitzayin, this idea of there being like states that are, you know, in between or both at the same time is something that he speaks about. And in practical questions, halacha l'maisa, you know, this, you know, in terms of on the human side, not necessarily true that, you know, animal life and human life is defined in the same way. But these are suggestive models for trying to figure out very complex questions. So just as you should be aware, just to sum up, 2 days in Tosis, whether Tumas Ochlin applies b'mfarcheses. Again, there, the first day, you know, runs into the question of what do you do with the explicit sugyas. Even with regard to Tumas Ochlin itself, whether it depends on shchita which is matir basar, or maisa shvita, which is motzi midei nevela, even though it's not nevela yet, that's the irony, right? Because it's not nevela until it's meis gamor. But will it, it sounds like in the Mishnah and Kafid Zayin, that it's still, you know, a maisa shvita, you know, even in behemah tmeya, legabi tumas ochlin, whereas one could have said that that's limited to behemah tahora, and even with regard to amada baharacha, whether or not that, you know, whether or not shechita tahora, shechita which is matir, also constitutes a negation of hamada v'haracha b'pirchus, in other words, as opposed to ma'isa shechita, you know, in a behema tmei. So these are interesting middle shechitas. Okay, that's one point. Next, I just want to also speak for 1 minute about this other tosis. yeah, Tos Nir Masel Shema Yiga B'Basar. What's that about? So Chibas HaKodesh we talked about, that's a massive topic, but it's there's nothing in, you know, that affects us for the moment, meaning the Tosis discusses, you know, that the idea of Chibas HaKodesh. I mean, the issue in Chibas HaKodesh is where it applies and where it doesn't apply. It applies to Eitzim and to Lavona, clearly. Reb Chaim has a piece in which he says it only applies to Karbanos, not to Kedushas HaGuf. You have to explain Eitzim. There's a lot of discussion about Klishares. Is it Klishares? Have Hechsher automatically because of... Chibas HaKodesh basically means you don't need Hechsher, or it's considered Ochel because it's Nechal Al-Gabi Mitzbeah. There's a whole massive discussion about Kibbutz HaKodesh, which I'm not going to get into, but you should just be aware that that's, you know, in Mitzvot Chinuch and Reb Chaim, and a massive topic, a very fascinating question and topic. One thing I do want to just repeat again, and that is that in the discussion of the Nor Yehuda, the Nor Yehuda equated Tuma Doraisa with Kibbutz HaKodesh Drabanan, when he's trying to explain the Rambam, as opposed to, and as being the same when there's Hechsher Doraisa, you know, but Tumah Drabanan. He was assuming that those two things are the same. And I just repeat what I said, which was, especially if there's a din of Shmira, then you might have a situation where even though both Tumahs are Drabanan, but when you have a Cheftza of Tahara Doraisa, and there's a din of Shmira, maybe the din of Shmira will apply even for, pragmatically, Tumah Drabanan. So the idea that, you know, Chibas HaKodesh Drabanan, you know, with Taharas Doraisa is the equivalent of Taharas Drabanan with Hechsher Doraisa, which is Nor Behuda's suggestion for the Rambam, is questionable. On a more ambitious level, there's a tshuva, which Achronim I'll quote, of the Achiezer, because the first tshuva in Yoredeya, Siman Aleph, or he discusses this Nor Behuda too, and he disagrees as well. But his disagreement is much more, I'm suggesting you might disagree because of what I just said. But he's suggesting something else, something much more ambitious. And that is that even if the Din Darabanan, even if you have Tumah Daraisa, if you have Taharas Daraisa, sorry, and then you encounter a Safek, a Tumah Darabanan, right? So the fact that it's a Safek, willy-nilly may impact, you know, whether there's Hesach Hadas. Because there's a Safek, there's a 50% chance that you're going to have to bring this Korban, this Davar Tahar, to the Beis HaPsul. So maybe Mimela, that creates Hesach Hadas from it as a Davar Shebikdusha. Meaning his argument is that it doesn't matter that the Tumah is Doraisa Drabanan. Lemaisa, once is a Safek Tumah that is impactful, it ends up undermining the Tahara Doraisa anyway. That's our Chaim Ozer's argument. And therefore, you know, what the Nor Behuda says is wrong because, it's, you know, if you have a Tahara Doraisa, it's Doraisa messed up even by the Tumah Durabanan or the Safek Tumah Durabanan in practice. But that's not true, you know, if you have Chibas HaKodesh, you know, which is only Dravana. I mean, that's sometimes, that's not true if you have Tara and Rabbanan, you know, with a Hechsher D'Oraisa. Okay. Anyway, that's one part. The second, I'm really more interested in the second half of Tosafos for a minute. And that is Tosafos' practical question about, what's the practical question? Say again? How can he be, you know, being shechting with a stakin aroch, right? He still has to be, if he isn't in the Azara, he has to at least be in the, you know, the Ezras Nashim, you know, the Chael, right? And he should be, especially if we're dealing with Tamei Mace, he can't be there either. Correct? Yeah? The Tosafot has two answers. One is Rabbeinu Tam. What's Rabbeinu Tam? Say that again? That's the Re. Is that the Re? I think I'm mixing them up. Rabbeinu Tam says it's a difference if you are Tamei in advance or if you become Tamei while you're there. No? This is Hikshu Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? Echi tekeim sheit sakin aruka kol kach me'arabayis adezus Yisrael. Hai Tamei mukmin lebesamachap betmei meis. And his K is prohibited from being in the Chael. Right, so they say, but the Shomar Dalamai the Pirush Rabbeinu Tam B'Alma the Lagozer Hechad the Nitma B'Pnim Nich. That's one answer. The Chael the Pirush Ri. Go ahead, David. The Pirush Loch Mir Ela Be'Ezras. Go ahead, Nashim. That's what you were just saying, right? What's that? Shemakom Kinesa Vitzia of the Shar Mekomos Yachal Ikanis Ad Samach Lamach Neshkina Mamish. Asinami Shapir, or if we're talking about a Bama, you know, Bama solves all problems here. There's another answer, and that's the Tosafos in Zvachim, which expands on all of this. Tosafos in Zvachim has a idea that maybe we're talking about the guy is standing on Gagin and Alios. Gagin and Alios is always like the solution. Okay, so just to point out very quickly, each of these, just the point, just that you should be aware of. This idea of Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a difference between Knisa, Lemikdash, and staying, or parts of the Mikdash, and Shehiya, once, you know, when you were Mistame already, is a big, big issue in Hilchos Bias Mikdash. Reb Chaim, again, has a piece on this in the Chibor as well. So where is that piece? Where is that piece? Good question. Piece is... Oh, Hilchos Bias Mikdash Paragimel. There he kind of develops the idea that really there are two dinim, that the Isser of Shehiya is only in the Azara, where the Isser of Bia, meaning when you're Tamei and you come in, not when you're Tamei and you remain, right, that's a din in the other Mekomos of the Mikdash. Anyways, this is an interesting question. The point is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, it sounds like there may be the idea is that the tumah of being in the chael or a bias, etc., is not an extension of the azara. Right? It's a din in its own right, and therefore it has different dinim and different status. But the re is an interesting counterpoint, because the Re's, what's the idea of the Re again, David? Yeah, I mean, it's not all the objective. And there are gradations, right, in the Mikdash. So what the Havamin of the assumption of the question is that, that's Koveya Legabe, this particular din. Right? A person who's in a certain state of Tumah cannot be in a place of, you know, there are gradations. Either you can or cannot be in this level, the next level, etc. But it goes by the levels themselves, which is very reasonable. But the Re suggesting that isn't true, correct? But rather, it has to do with proximity to the Azara, to the Machane Shina, correct? So again, the Ramban portrays this as a Din Drabanan, an Gzeira. Could be. If you see it more fundamentally, it seems that what the Re is really suggesting is that the Iser of being in these parts of the Mikdash is Betoras an extension of the Azara, or Machna Shechina, or Betoras Pesach Lemachna Shechina. So this is something that we find, just clear, in a different discussion, a more fundamental discussion, about Shar Nicanor. It's like a very popular question. Like in the process of Tumas, of the entire Tumas Taras, like the Taharas Bahunos, etc. So you have to be, you can't come in, but you can be at Shar Nicanor. So Rav Elbel has a big discussion about this. Is that because Shar Nicanor itself, even though it's not the Azara, Machna Shechina, is a place of Lifnei Hashem? Or is that because, or maybe it's the same idea, but even though it isn't, doesn't have the Kedusha of Machna Shechina and the Kedusha of the Azara, but it's still considered to be Pesach HaAzara, Pesach Machna Shechina, or basically has a din of Machna Shechina, right, even though it doesn't have the Kedusha of it. So this is just an interesting question, how to navigate these different levels of Tumah within the Mekomos HaMikdash. Yeah?
This conversation, meaning, the Rebbe himself, he says it's not a problem if you come up with Machna Shechina, except it will be fine if you come
right.
sideways.
Right. Yeah. So it's not the proximity to, it's the fact that this seems like there's a stat. Again, if it's a Didrabanan, Gzera, you know, Shema, Yikanes, that also makes sense why it should be Pesach. But, right, otherwise the point is that, the Pesach or the Pesachim are, with a, you know, tough, not a Samech, are have a din, have a status, meaning they're not, they don't have Kedushas, you know, Machna Shechina, but they're part of the Makom of Machna Shechina. Or they're lifnei, you know, or they're considered Pesach Machna Shechina. And that itself gives it a kind of a status. That would be the idea. Yeah, the Gagin and Alios is like a very fascinating question in general, you know, because they don't have Kedusha, but they are part of the Makom of the Mikdash, a similar kind of problem. In other words, you have to break down the various dimensions of the Mikdash. Okay, so that is just sort of the other Tosis in that I wanted to mention. So go ahead. So now let's talk about Cherev Kachala. We'll try to do a quick job on this. Go ahead. So the Gemara says, "Hai tama de itma bama," right? I mean, what are we talking about? Just to refresh us. We're talking about a Tameh, and the Mishnah is talking about either Kodesh al Taras HaKodesh, or part of the Mishnah is even talking about more Tameh b'mukdashin. Right? This Mishnah in Chul is talking about Tameh, we already discussed the implications of that, right, of Tameh b'mukdashin. So the question is, you know, obviously we want to make sure that he wasn't Nogeh b'Basar, right? So the Gemara is wondering, like, what's the big deal? And if he was Nogeh b'Basar, end of the world. Right? Meaning maybe it's distant enough that being Nogeh b'Basar, you know, with the Sakin, or I'm sorry, being Nogeh b'Basar would be no problem, right? Yeah? Okay, so what does the Gemara say about this? So the Gemara's testing, what's the case? The mind. Cherev, arehu kecholo. Okay, so what is that? What's he saying? If he is a tmei mace, what does that mean, he's a tmei mace? He touched a mace. He was in contact with a mace. He doesn't touch him, but he was in contact with a mace, right, through whatever is metame him, OL, could be maga, could be whatever it is, whatever is metame him. He's called a tmei mace, right? So what that makes him what in the world of Tuma? They told me you have like a master's in Tuma Vataras? On your way to PhD, but not. What's that? He's a Rishon? Excellent. He touched the Abi Avos HaTuma in some way, or was exposed to the Abi Avos HaTuma. Mace is an Abi Avos HaTuma. Right, which is, again, a fascinating thing. That's the, you know, the ultimate tumma is mace. Right? Tumma is about decay, it's about misa, right? So so this tmei mace is a, you know, in most get, in most world of tumma v'tahara, if you have contact with the metame, right, then you are a rishon. Right? There are a few exceptions to that rule. Right, one is, you know, gavra shenogav mes. Since it starts off as a viavosatuma, this is a tmei mes is a navatuma, correct? What happened then? He was nogea bikli, right? So that makes it should make it a rishon betuma, and then the kli would be nogea bebasar. That would make it a sheni betuma. But sheni betuma in kachim is a problem. Either way, that should be a problem. But that's not what the Gemara says. Right? The Gemara says what? He's an avatoma. He, what happens then? The knife, because that's a special din. Ooh, a lot of special dins here. Or dinim here. Right? As a din of cherev kechalal. That's a din of cherev harei kechalal. That you retain, well, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but we'll see. You retain the intense level of tumma of the makar, right? That's a chiddush of cherev kechala. Typically, tumma, right, is downgraded, you know, by contact. And here, in the case of cherev and a tmei mes, right, you retain that level. Okay, and then what happens? And then the basar becomes a rishon. That's what the Gemara say. Correct? Okay, good. Go ahead, keep going. And if it's itmi b'sheret, then what? The shachad ba. What do you gain from that? So what if it's chromis shalkana? It will be a bekabel tumah because pshutei kliyets. Okay, now we have to talk about, do you need a kli? Do you need a kli shares? Do you need a kli shares and a kli in Chulin? Do you need a kli shares and a kli in Kadshim? Like, what's going on there? That's our next topic. Okay, but first we want to spend a few minutes on Cherev Kechal. So in Cherev Kechal, we have this, this is an example of Cherev Kechal in the Gemara. For the first thing just to note is what Rashi points out, right, on Gimel and Aleph, and that is kind of we alluded to already, namely, David, that the Gemara is a little strange. Right? Why? We don't need the chiddush of cherev kechalal, because even if a tmei mace touches a sakin and makes it into a, even if there wasn't cherev kechalal and it was a rishon, the sakin, right, would still make the basar into a sheni. Yeah, so what does Rashi say about that? Gavra of Tumma. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay, very strange. But that's what Rashi says. Okay. So it just brings into a little bit of focus, like this question, what is this Cherev Kechal? Right, which we discussed last year, those were here in Bava Kamma for like a week. And we just want to spend a few minutes now, or maybe we're not going to finish now, so we'll finish a little bit on Sunday, just the broader parameters of it. So the Ramban actually quotes in the name of the Raivid, saw it, David? A suggestion as to why we need Cherev Kechalol here, because it is strange. Right? The Ramban quotes Rashi approvingly, and he says the Raivid, because of this question, came to a different conclusion, which is, you have it there? Okay, good. You don't need to. Go ahead. Yeah, we should talk about that for a minute also. Okay, but we'll get that in a second. The EF Sharlamida. The Mikdash. So what do you think about that? Obviously, Rashi doesn't think that's what's going on. Right? The knife itself violates the prohibition of bringing habale kemachnis tmeimes, right, lemikdash. Okay, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, right, that is a question of what exactly he means in some of the cases. But what is it, Per Gimel Halacha, Tezvav, I believe. You have to look at the Achronim. They have a big deal in the Minchas Chinuch, Hatik and Mitzvah. Shin Samach Gimel, right in the beginning of Vayikra, where he talks about Shiluach, Min HaMikdash, talks a lot about this question. The idea that Kalim, or that Cherev Kecholo, being Machnis Cherev Kecholo into the Mikdash, is a violation of Bias Mikdash, is a very big chiddush. Okay? It implies a, somewhat at least, a literalist understanding of Cherev. It's like bringing the mace, or bring the tumas mace. Let's say in this case, it's cherev, which was in contact with a tame mace. So it's like the, he himself coming in. When you bring the socket in. So when you put the sock in, over the, that's the problem of cherev horegecha. That's the answer to Rashi's question. We're not worried about the basar, right? That hinachanami doesn't require cherev kala. We're worried about something even bigger, namely the violation of Bias Mikdash, right, B'tuma or B'tmei Meis, and that applies to Cherev Kechol. That's a very wild shita. Yeah? You agree? Okay. Good. So again, it highlights a few things. Before we get to that, let's just talk about that's the Raivid. This Raivid implies, as I say, a very tangible or concrete understanding of Cherev Kechalo. Before that, the Ramban quotes the view of Rabbeinu Hananel. What is that exactly? Hard to get. If you didn't catch it, it's hard. Ramban basically, Rabbeinu Hananel kosov hacha apagav di itmi bitmeimes. Who? Sounds like the Gabra, being the Shochet. He didn't stumble upon the body. He himself was not a Tmei Meis. He encountered a Tmei Meis. Meaning, he bumped into or had contact with a, not a Viavos HaToma, with the Avatoma, a Tmei Meis. And now he, based on that contact, is transmitting through the Sakin, right, a sufficient level of tumah to the basar to make it into a rishon. What? That's what the Ramban says. But that's the words, I think. Apagav di tame b'tmeimeis, in the shochet, was nitma ayidei tmeimeis. Still, nasa abatoma, those are words don't make sense, but basically, probably the way to read them is, he has the equivalent transmission power, you know, as if he's an abatoma, meaning he can create a rishon, and the Ramban says the yeshal amida, well, because he isn't abatoma. So this is also the view, I think I mentioned last year, of the Bar Tanura in the Mishnah and Psachim, in the first paragraph. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in Psachim, in his Kovei Tziurim, like he takes up this cause. He says, like, you know, what does this Rabbeinu Chananel and this Bar Tanura mean? Sorry, before that, what was the question? What was the question? Aaron, you had a question? You're good so far? It's a little complicated, but, like, you know, when do you get the chance? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says the following. Again, he doesn't formulate all the options, but we'll just take a step back for a second. If you look at Rashi here, as David read it so well, David, go one more time. When he tries to explain the... No, you know what? Do the Itmi B'Sheret? Nava Haigava Rishon? She'in Mekli Mekabel Tuma, Ela Me'ava Tuma. Right? The Lomatina Batorah, the Mekabel Tuma Mirishon, the Sheini, Ela Ochel Mashke. Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma, etc. Why do I care about that formulation? Again, you have to really scour, you know, Shas and look at all the Mefarshim. This takes, you know, it's an enormous task. And the stuff is very, very subtle. Meaning, what is the problem in Tuma transmission, you know, limitations or inadequacy? Right? Clearly, this is whole hierarchy. So Rashi here seems to be emphasizing, as he does in many places, that the problem, let's identify certain things. The problem could be, as Rashi emphasizes here, in the Kabbalah's Tuma. Meaning, only Ochan Amashkin can be Makabel Tuma from a Rishon. Kalim can only be Makabel Tuma from an Avatum. I mean, the problem is the recipient or the reception of Tuma? One could have said, and there are probably nafkaminos, although not in this particular case, that the problem isn't in the reception but in the transmission. Meaning, maybe only an Av can be Matame, a Kli, maybe a Rishon can't be Matame, a Kli. Maybe the Chisarim is in the Rishon, you know, not in the Makabel. Or you could say that those are two sides of the same coin. They are different. I mean, there are different emphases, for sure. But there might be a different point. And that is, maybe the problem is that a Kli, right, just cannot, not that a Kli can't be Makabel from a Rishon, or that a Rishon can't be Matame a Kli. Maybe the problem is that a Kli cannot be a Sheni. Only Ochel Mamashkim can be a Sheni. It doesn't have the capacity to be a Sheni. It's not in its, material DNA. Okay? But Lu Yitzuyer, the problem isn't in the Metame, and the problem isn't in the ability to, you know, to receive Tuma. It's just that the problem is in that, there's no Chalos, you know, Shemi Bekele. So Lu Yitzuyer, you had a, you know, transmission of Tuma and a reception of Tuma, either in both, you know, that ended up, you know, with a Rishon, you know, status for the Kli. Would there be a problem of its receiving from another Rishon, or a problem of another Rishon transmitting to it? That's how Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wants to explain Rabbeinu Chanan. The idea being, of course, with the added assumption, again, it's a very small piece, but did I write down where it is? It's in Psachim, I think Samech, oh, Samech Gimel or something? One second. Other words, sorry, he quotes it there?
Yeah.
Does he quote what it says, or he just has to look at it?
He says, like,
just like
in one line. Like,
like, oh, okay. You mean the
Rajman
cool it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So, basically, that's his idea. Of course, the assumption is, in other words, so what you have to add, though, is that Cherev Kecholol then has a certain broader, albeit consistent, meaning. You know, the idea of Cherev Kecholol is what I called last year, you know, superconductivity. Meaning, the idea of Cherev Kecholol is that while typically in the process of Tumah, of the contamination of Tumah, there's always a hadraga. There's always a dilution of the process. Right? Cherev Kecholol is unique in that the Kli, right, retains, right, without any kind of Tumah loss, the status of the source. That is true whether it's, of course, you have to assume then that that's true whether it's involved, whether it's in contact with the mace, whether it's in contact with a Tmei mace, maybe even when it's in contact with a Risho. That's the Chiddush. The thing about Cherev Kecholol is that it totally absorbs, right, the full intensity of the tumah that is exposed to. That's what I mean by superconductivity. Every other mekabel loses something in the process, and then mimela you have to deal with its capacity. You know, does it have the halachic DNA, you know, to be that lower level? That's what Chana Vasseman's suggestion. Of course, again, if you think that the problem is in, you know, the Rishon to transmit, you know, to a Kli, or the Kli to receive from a Rishon, not in the Kli's ability to become a Sheni, then none of this helps. Moreover, I mean, there's no problem to explain, you know, the 99% of Mefarshim who think that this isn't true, is what I'm trying to say. There also may be another point, and that is, this is an important point in general, even if it is true, right, that, this is what I just said, kind of, that there's no loss, no tumah intensity loss, you know, in Cherev Kecholol, the question is, since the din of Cherev Kecholol applies only to Tumas Meis, at what point do you sufficiently lose, right, the identity of Tumas Meis? Meaning, of course, when you're in contact with the mace, and even with a Tnei mace, who's an Avatuma, right, so the idea that you're involved in Tumas Meis, Kalos Tumas Meis, and therefore this superconductivity idea or whatever else Cherev Kecholol might be, applies, is obvious. But once you hit the point of a Rishon, right, is there a chalos even of Rishon shel Tumas Meis? Or once you're at Rishon, it's just Rishon shel Tumah. That's on the Abiyabos level and on the Abba Tumah level, the identity of the Tumah, you know, is the singular nature of each Tumah is clearly part of the Hagdara. Right? In a Doma, Tumas Meis, to Tumas Sheretz, to Tumas Nevela, to Tumas Zav, etc. But once you hit the point of Rishon, the reason the Cherev Kecholol won't work anymore is not because its conductivity powers don't work at that point, or because, you know, a Rishon can't, you know, do that to a Kli, or a Kli can't get that from a Rishon. It's just that once you're at Rishon, then the source is just part of the history, but it's no longer part of the Hagdara. Or at least that's something to think about. meaning this question in general is something, the reason I'm taking time to discuss these things, because these questions, which come up a little bit here, are either way the questions of Tumah v'Tahara, transmission. Meaning, is it about the metame or the mistame, or is that just two sides of the same coin? Is it about what, you know, the effect of what it becomes, right, or the process which, you know, which produces it? And when does the specific shame Tumah get lost, you know, in this whole hierarchy? It's very similar in a way to what we were talking about the other day. We were talking about, oh, in Chulin, there's certainly a shame Rishon the Shani. You know, in Truma, shame Shlishi, in Kadshim, a shame Rabi. Like, what does that even, like, what do those things mean? And as you move away into lower levels, you know, are you just talking about Tuma, or are you talking about the specificity, you know, of Tuma? Tvil Yom is a great example. That's another place to draw the line. or Mechusa Kippurim. Is there a chalos? That's a big issue already in the Shakam Tari of certain sugyas. Is there chalos tful yom? Is tful yom le tumas meis different than tful yom le tumas taras different than? And again, that might be different from the question of Rishon Sheni Shlishi, but it's a parallel question. Or Mechusa Kippurim. Again, the korban you bring is going to show. But the status of Tumah for somebody who's Mechusa Kippurim or Mechusa Kapara is, you know, just that, meaning he's a guy who took all steps but is missing, you know, this one or that one, you know, but the steps that he's taken have sufficiently neutralized the specific character of his Tumah, right? Or no? At what point do you lose that shame? With regard to Kharkhalal, that is a critical issue. With regard to Kharkhalal, there's another question that we're going to stop, and then we'll speak this more generally about some of the shittos. What the Rabbit already highlights is the scope question, meaning when we say a Kharkhalal, we're already saying an amazing halacha. Right? We're saying that, you know, typically in Tumah transmission, you know, you go Bahadragah, and here you don't. Right. But why that is still unclear. And a way of, I guess, assessing it is to try to put your finger on how comprehensive, you know, an application there is. And there might be a certain irony in this question, meaning the more you say Chara Vorei Kachalo, right, and the applications are comprehensive, right, the more it seems like, you know, we're simulating, like, you know, the mace, you know, the Tmei mace, more. Ironically, it might end up being that we can do that because it isn't really about the mace and the Tmei mace, it's about the Tumah of the mace and the Tumah of the Tmei mace. I'll explain what I mean. But at the end of the day, still, so for example, on the other hand, if we are more limiting, that it's a more mechudat, not really saying cherub is chalal, that's a chafadimyo more. It's kechalal, but not chalal. But ironically, that could be for two opposite reasons. It could be because we recognize that tumas meis and a meis are things that can't be duplicated, and the things that can, therefore, are just of more limited nature. Now, there are two questions here. One is, what is cherev relative to chalal or tmeimeis really? And the second is, in the different areas that are affected by tumas meis, are they all b'chada machta? Are they all one, basically? Or are there really different categories within that? So for example, this will stop, just to throw it out, right, there's a major, major debate among the Rishonim about Ohel, right? Does the din of cherev kachalal apply to Ohel? And in two senses, can it be triggered by Ohel? Can it be transmitted by Ohel? I'm not going to go into all the details. We did it last year extensively, but just broadly. What about masa? Tumas masa of tmei meis, does that apply to cherev kachalal? What about hazaz gimel v'zayin? You know, there's certainly tumas shiva, as opposed to Tumas Erev for Cherev Kachalal. is a requirement of Hazaz Gimel V'Zayin. What about the Isur Knisa LeMikdash? Also Achilas Kadshin. Is it the same as Tumas Meis? What about Nazir Sheh? Tumas Nazir Megalei Achala? And what about Tumas Kohen? By the famous question of Reb Chaim Cohen in the Bali Tosis and Tosin Nazi or in other places, and that is, Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shameis. So how can a Kohen live in any home if you hold Cherev Kachalo? If there's Tumas Oel and there's also Tumas and Muzharin Bo Kohanim, then that's like a disaster. Okay. Which triggered a lot of discussions. The Ramban is especially active on the Oel question, and the Bali Tosis in the Hazal Gimel V'Zayin question. And of course the Rambam famously seems to contradict himself all over the place. Again, last year we sorted it out as well as we could. I'm just going to make a quick reference, but in Hukos Nazir, in Perek Gimel, Hukos Tumas Meis, in Perek Hei, Hukos Tumas Meis, in Hukos Yerushalayim, in Tumah, the Rambam is all over the place. This has to do with drashos and Mefurish Bakra. What exactly are the parameters? But the point is that just what we'll try to identify very quickly on Sunday, there are some Rishonim who take the Cherev Kachal equation very, very seriously, almost literally, and they think that basically applies pretty much for everything. Rabbeinu Tam, I think last year we pointed out that the Urayim was even more extreme than Rabbeinu Tam. Talmud Rabbeinu Tam went even further. And then you have people like the Rambam and the Ramban who are very, very selective in applying this idea. If you are comprehensive, then we need to know, what do you really think? Do you really think this is kind of an instantiation of the mace? I mean, it's a cherev, it's a kli, right? Or do you really think that it's all about the level, the darga of tumas mace? That's something that, superconductively, remains, kind of embodied in this kli. And everything's about the tumma, the level of tumma, not the atzmo or the chepsa shel meis. Whereas if you are selective, more selective, like some of the Bali Tosis were, and especially the Ramban and the Rambam, so then the question is, which dinim depend on chepsa shel meis, or chepsa shel tumas meis even? And Gavra, who is mistame b'meis, probably is somebody who, whose tziruf to the chepsa shel meis is greater than a kli, one would think. Which dinim depend on that? And which dinim depend simply on the darga of tumas meis? So that's what I want to talk about next time. And it's a little bit of a paradigm, again, in the world of tumah v'tahara generally, whether it's all about tumah level or tziruf to the metame. You could be mechalik perhaps between different tumos, in this question. Midras Hazav. So very, very quickly, just like an in and out, drive by. And then hopefully already Sunday we'll start talking about klisharis or shkita. And then after that, to learn the next daf, basically. In other words, till the bottom of Gimel on the base. And probably Roman Tsunes or shkita. And then we'll break up Kuti, Mumar, and so like Talon.
The note on the Ramban.
10:30, right? You said for
the note on the Ramban, and it seems from there. It's some random thing that they wrote. They think that even if a show touches you, they think you go back up to the Gnam.
In Cherem.
Yeah.
I mean if they
just think that they sound some guy.